Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out how much your home is worth instantly at LaughlinWolfingtonRealty.com.
We never ask permission. We only ask forgiveness after we do this. Going statewide at WGAN in Portland, Matt Gagnon.
News. How you doing, Rick?
On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based on my rights under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution.
Indeed.
I'm doing okay. Hey, I'm just curious. I saw the headline in the Portland Press Herald today, and we have a feature on our program called Inform or Influence. We take a hard look at the headlines coming from newspapers, TV stations, other radio stations, including your own, and we find out if the people writing those headlines are trying to do more than just inform you. They're trying to influence you. Okay.
No, they would never do that, Rick.
Stop
they would
it.
Never do that.
Don't make me turn on what we have on our program called the sarcasm filter, and that stops nasty...
Sarcasm filter. Active.
Cut that
well,
out.
Well, it's on. It's on.
Anyway, so the headline talks about why Janet Mills hasn't endorsed Troy Jackson, and it's a simple question. But the photo that they chose of the governor...
The one of her laughing or whatever she's doing.
She's any harder, I think she's going to pop her hernia mesh because she's laughing so hard. What? Is the blood so bad between Mills and Jackson that she won't go on camera and say, yeah, vote for this guy if you want to?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, the funny thing about this is all this predates any sort of electoral stuff this year. I mean, you know, nobody really talked too much about it in the last 8 years or so, but they were so frequently on the opposite side of things and were, you know, fighting with each other behind the scenes. You know, they didn't really take it all that public. You know, you heard some stuff every once in a while about them sort of not liking each other or fighting over this policy or that or whatever, but it was not pleasant at times in Augusta, and I think this might be one of your consequences of that if you're Troy Jackson, is maybe now you are laying in the bed that you made, sir, by fighting with the governor.
But I also, what good's it going to do him? If you're going to vote for Jackson, you're
going to
vote
all.
For Jackson already. Having her say the words is going to do nothing more than maybe produce a TV spot, and it may get someone to send you $5, maybe $10, maybe $12.
Oh, no. If we've learned anything this electoral cycle, Mr. Tyler, it is that Janet Mills has absolutely no political juice left at all. I mean, from her own run, with Grant Plattner, against Grant Plattner and how miserably that failed, to her various endorsements and whatnot, it really was not a good election cycle for her. And when you look at the poll numbers and see how unpopular she is, the right track, wrong track numbers, people really dissatisfied with kind of like where Maine is right now, it's not really all that surprising that she's not a, you know, helpful endorser. So, frankly, if I'm Troy, thanks. No, you can stay right over there, Janet. It's fine. No need to endorse.
Keep the grandma vibes going. Maybe read some poetry or write some prose and just stay over there. Turns out Trump was right. You know, your political career will be over. And her political career is pretty much over. You talk about money. We talked about this just a bit. In fact, Christina Parker, I bet she's been on your show before. She's with the Maine GOP. Talking about the financial figures coming from the Pingree campaign. Four times more than Rick Bennett. Rick who? But Bobby Charles... I don't think you should count this guy out based on how much money is in his bank account, because during the primary, he proved you don't need a lot of bucks in order to distance yourself from the competition. Now, a lot of that was social media. He knew how to reach. I wonder if that's going to translate from the primary to the general. Where are you on the money matters?
My position on money has always been that money does indeed matter, but it only matters to a point. You have to have enough to be able to make your case and make sure that people have heard from you and can hear whether or not you're a good or a bad candidate. After a certain point of that, frankly, money is worthless. I mean, Sarah Gideon can tell you all about that. She had more money than anybody's ever had in Maine, and most of it was worthless. In fact, a lot of it annoyed people because there was too many commercials and too much media with Sarah Gideon's face on it. My position overall on Bobby Charles is the threat to him and his campaign is not really money. It's the Senate race. I mean, if you're trying to convince Maine voters to go with you, particularly if your opponent has, I guess, some kind of a lead right now, you need to get enough attention to be able to have people pay attention to you so that they'll say, all right, I'll think about this guy instead of that guy. And everyone is so obsessed with Susan Collins versus now Troy Jackson, and maybe somebody else next week, who knows, that there's really no oxygen in this governor's race in the room. And that's a really hard thing to overcome. Now, there's plenty of time left You know, we're just in the end of July here. So you got August, you got September, you got October. So there's plenty of time left. But right now, it's tough to break through, I think, the wall of news noise that has really overwhelmed everything.
I'm glad you mentioned oxygen in the room. I've been talking with listeners on our program about Collins' distance over Jackson now because of the inconsiderate convention and the hasty caucus and elevating him, whether or not he should or should not be the person. We'll see. But Collins, with that $11 million, now $12 million, and at least $10 million, a head start over Jackson, why not just buy up every possible second of airtime between now and November and literally leave the Jackson campaign gasping for airtime? That's a thought.
Freeze them out?
Yep.
Yep.
Now,
it's a good thought.
There'll still be opportunities to spend the money. I recall when working for News Center Maine way back in the day, they inserted extra commercials in November, in October, because the opportunity was there. And if they're backing up the money truck, you don't say you can't park here. News outlets, TV stations, they'll find the way to get your ad on the air.
They will.
But there's a moment of saturation.
They do like money. Yeah, money is important.
Well, how come you and I never see any of that? Huh? How come you, me, and Danny never see any of that? That's what I want to know.
Tough to be us, Rick. It really is. But, you know, I do think there is actually a little minor danger, though. I just brought up the Sarah Gideon example of how she had, frankly, too much money. If she were to do what you were suggesting and, like, sort of try to freeze Jackson out by just overwhelming the TV with just nothing but Collins, mm-hmm. there is maybe an annoyance factor that goes along with that, right? Like, oh, my God, here comes another Collins ad. So it's a delicate little balance you've got to play when you're running a campaign
No, I'm going to put my marketing hat back on. But you have control of what's going across those airwaves in that precious 15, 30, or 60 seconds. And you can fashion something that is not a vote for me. You can fashion something that is a much more tender, oh, gosh, I like her.
Fair point. And let me say this, which I know you'll agree with, Rick. If you're listening from the Collins campaign or, hey, you know, the Jackson campaign, you know where the best place to put your dollars is? It's radio, obviously, right? It's absolutely
but
radio
again,
ads.
But again, we see none of that money. Let us clarify. We see none of that money. In fact, it would be nice to see any of that money.
Sarcasm filter. Active.
Once it's again, true, but I do accept... I do accept under-the-table contributions. If anybody would like to give me some cash, I'm taking it in small denominations in briefcases if you wanted to drop it off.
Yes. In a moment, we'll share Matt's Venmo information with you. He's Matt Gagnon from WGAN. I'm Rick Tyler on WVOM, and we're not asking permission with what we're doing. We're just doing it and hope we don't get called into the office later today. What did that ICE detention facility in Scarborough ever do to deserve that level of scrutiny and hate? The building didn't do anything wrong, and it's on private property. Again, we see people in our state, leaders. Well, people tell us we got to do something. We got to do something. What do we do? Let's write a proclamation.
Yeah. I mean, as usual, Rick, it's all theater, right? It's all about sort of, you know, demonstrations and rallies and trying to make a spectacle of all this type of stuff to try to get attention in the media. Like, that's all this really does come down to. Mm-hmm. It doesn't affect anything. It doesn't change anything. The only thing that has affected or changed anything so far has been, believe it or not, Susan Collins, who's now, I think, personally responsible for one, you know, stopping those stops initially with the Department of Homeland Security, and then now the body camera issue. You know, that's a demonstration of her influence in Washington, that those types of things are ultimately happening as a result of her weighing in and pushing on it. The demonstrators who are making such a big spectacle of everything are not really responsible for any of it.
Can we go back to the Collins scoreboard of getting things done? But I got to go back to Operation Catch of the Day. Pingree scream and make it stop. King scream and make it stop. Mills scream and make it stop. Susan Collins picks up the telephone. Hey, guys, can we pause this thing? Job done. Then she works to get the money into Congress for the body cameras, for the essential training, and for the litigation in case we need to research one of these incidents. She makes it happen. Chuck Schumer shuts down the government and delays it from going into place. And then maybe that's why the guy in Biddeford didn't have a body camera on. But that's another instance where everyone's talking about reform ICE. Collins was already on the case. And then she wants those body cams put into place, as you just mentioned. What did she do yesterday? Picked up the phone, made it happen. And she's and yep. you mentioned, and what was the there's four. You just mentioned the other one. You want a pause on these stops? Great, we'll put a pause in the stops. Four times she picks up the phone. She gets it done while everyone else, including Pingree, not Hannah, Shelley, are clutching pearls and wringing their hands.
And that's the point here to all of this, is you get the case now from Graham Plattner before and now Troy Jackson that you need to elect me so that I'll stop these ICE raids, and I'll stop ICE from doing this or I'll stop ICE from doing that. Does anybody, if you actually thought about this for like more than 20 seconds, does anybody really think that freshman Senator Troy Jackson in the U.S. Senate saying anything, making a speech on the floor, calling the Department of Homeland Security, trying to chide at Trump a little bit, would actually result in anything? Or would it just be, you know, them complaining in public, and it makes me feel so much better to be a critic. You know, there's somebody who actually gets it done and actually can do things for you and has influence, and you're thinking of dumping that person for the person that's going to have, what, vibes? It's all about, you know, the right press release. Like, is that really where we are now?
That person who's voting on vibes is going to have to remember that should their vibe come true, when they open their local property tax bill and realize that, oh, the septic site down the road needed some work. And so, well, they didn't have any federal funding, which Collins could have brought in. So we're going to have to pay for it. That's just great. But people don't think like that.
No, they don't. Heart and that's one thing that I hear from my callers all the time is like, how could you possibly get rid of, you know, the, you know, person who's responsible for, you know, the Senate budget and the person who can steer this much money to Maine? I mean, that's suicidal to replace that person with a freshman senator with no influence, right? Mm-hmm. But tell me that the average voter even knows that she's the chair of that committee. Like, tell me that that's actually something they consider when they walk in the voting booth. They should, mm-hmm. but do they? Do they even know? Not really,
well,
ultimately. That's the job.
That's the job of the Collins campaign in order to market that. I think they're on a good start to that. But I think Republicans in the state of Maine could learn a lesson from that. You've got to simplify your marketing because Democrats have it too easy. Someone knocks on the door. Hi, I'm running for the Maine House. Oh, really? I'm a Democrat. Yeah, Trump's bad. Vote for me. Deal's done. If you're a Republican, hi, I'd like to talk to you about taxes. I'd like to talk to you about policy. Slam. That's the problem yep. Republicans have in our state. By the way, it comes to mind. Can you name a freshman lawmaker that we sent to D.C. that actually made meaningful moves in the first term? Because I can name one.
And who would that be? Rick Tyler.
Bruce Poliquin.
Yeah, actually, the timing lined up for him. That was a perfect time for him to get elected in the first place with the Trump administration coming in, yeah.
I mean, Mishu, when he was serving for how many years?
He was the most anonymous member of Congress.
Yes, other than the Northern Border Commission that he co-sponsored, Poliquin got done his first term, and I think he got 5-6 pieces of legislation, stuff with meat, passed. Mishu didn't do it in his entire time in D.C. Has King ever solo sponsored something?
Well, he was really big on the lobster emoji, I remember.
Okay.
He was very, very, very on board with that.
Oh, by the way,
No, of course not. Shelley Pingree's been there for 20 years, and she hasn't. Has she ever gotten an actual single piece of legislation through? I don't know if the answer to that is yes.
We may need a scoreboard on that as well. Speaking of lobster,
which is interesting, by the way, Rick. Oh. I don't mean to interrupt you, but like, you know, she's had Obama and Biden as her president, so you would think that a Democratic lawmaker would be able to get Democratic ideas through Democratic presidents with Democratic Congresses. But even then, she doesn't do anything. So
when Trump got into office and he started issuing proclamation or executive order after executive order after executive order, there was a time when Shelley Pingree was commenting, and she was commenting on the seventh executive order passed, like the one from last week. And at one point I said on the radio, come on, Shelley, keep up. I think that now, speaking of lobster, I got to ask, you going to go to Rockland this weekend?
No, but I've seen all the pictures of the PETA people.
And that's all you need to see. I mean, granted, go enjoy.
But that's all they're looking for, too, right? I mean, they choose the people that dress themselves like that and paint themselves red for a reason.
One of my kids said, wow, she must be really embarrassed. And I said, you can't tell she's blushing because she's all painted up in red right now. And should we really be watching this?
Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out how much your home is worth instantly at laughlinwolfingtonrealty.com.